You know, the Lord wants us to know our enemy. And the enemy of our souls is Satan. And they're really, Susie Alamo knew better who Satan was than anybody I ever knew in my life. I know him also very well. The Lord wants us to know our enemy so that we can successfully fight him. And there's a man here this evening that knows the details in regard to his working better than any human being I have ever known in my life. It's just absolutely astounding what Dr. Alberto Rivera knows. And I just pray that every one of you will listen to him very good. We have found that everything that he stated is absolutely 100% true. Before I forget it, in the event that I'm not here the rest of this week, I want every offering to go to him, and whatever has come in since he has been here, I want turned to him, right over to him. All right? And then on top of that, we're giving you a nice offering. Praise the Lord. And now, let's everyone give a hand to Dr. Alberto Rivera. Praise the Lord.
Wonderful to know that we are not alone. Hallelujah. Yes, many times I have prayed before the Lord, many years back, and I have prayed for long days and nights, seeking whether I was wrong or I was confused about, and I ask God, it will be truth that I am by myself doing what I'm doing, teaching what I'm teaching, knowing what I know. Certainly, the very year that I left Spain, Madrid, under the mighty power of God Himself, because I was not only set free spiritually, I was set free physically. I was set free from the power of the papacy, not only, but from the power of the government in Spain. And I was out. I have documents when I did not have them. And now I have my IDs that I did not have before. Everything came back to me by miracles after miracles that were taking place in these last days in 1967. And when already I flew into England, the first time after I was set free from that asylum, psychiatric asylum that I was put in, there I was, not only with life, eternal life, but with physical life, all myself. I was completely renewed. I have no physical life, I have no moral life, I have no spiritual life, I have nothing. I was nothing. I was an empty shell there where I was in that psychiatric asylum. And there I was in England, not knowing where I can go, not knowing where I can call, not even knowing where I can live. But there I was, asking the Lord, who and where I should go. Knowing what I knew, I have fear that I cannot even call upon the door of a church. They'll send me back. Yes, those fears were there. But after I pray, and many times thinking like the prophet Jeremiah, I am by myself. Maybe everybody else already kneel to Baal. I said, it will be that too, Lord. During my sleep, the devil will reinforce those fears, and terrific apparitions and terrific things were taking place during my sleep. I gotta wake up so often during the night to take the Bible and call upon the name of the Lord and call upon the power of His blood, because the confrontations were satanic confrontations. They came to my room saying to me, you are alone, you are mad, you are crazy. Remember, and I can hear the voices, and I remember the cardinals and the bishops. They counseled with me before I was saved, telling me, you are like us, just sin. You know, you just sin. You are going against all the currents of big river. Yes. They already tried to place that fear in my soul when I was not even saved yet. And after my salvation took place, the same fears will come back. But I praise God that throughout these years, I have seen the glory of the Lord. I have witnessed how really I was not by myself. I'm more convinced every day. As I met Pastor Tony Alamo, and the day that I knew what he was doing and how he was serving the Lord through this ministry throughout this nation and overseas, I knew it. I said, there is another servant of God. There is another man of God. I can count with my fingers those who I knew. Nevertheless, it seems around, you look around, it seems there are so many. But so many, they are already bow to Baal. Yes. And so few that in this very moment we are the most privileged, peculiar people of God. I'm so grateful this evening that I can say what I'm about to say. I'm grateful to the Lord that Pastor Tony Alamo has entrusted me this place to bring the message of God to you during this past day. You see, it's a very difficult thing. It's very difficult to entrust the preaching of the gospel to anyone. It's very difficult. I know what I'm saying. But you see, yesterday, speaking about the Roman Catholic priesthood, I told you where the Roman priests are not today. It used to be, where is a priest? Nobody could find a priest, not even the Catholics. So difficult. Even to get a priest to the house of a person that was dying. So difficult to even give the last rites. But today the question is different. Where is not a priest of Rome? They are even in the pulpits of so-called Christian churches. Nor in the pulpits, nor in the altars, nor in the Roman Catholic parish, and so-called Christian churches, television programs, Christian programs, radio programs, Christian radio programs, cardinals even, and KBRG, and many other stations, even Cardinal Manning has been given time to testify. Yes, it's happening. It's taking place. But I'm so grateful to the Lord that He has shown me throughout the years that I am not alone. There are a bunch of men of God, of men of the living God that have not bowed to Baal, and they will not bow. Hallelujah. Certainly. You have one here, and I ask you the first day that I came here, you must keep him, preserve him under constant prayer. You must do it. Yes. There is. Many times we do not even know who is among us. We don't even know. It happened with our own Savior. They knew not who was He, and He walked among them. Make sure you know what God has given you in the person of our brother, Tony Alamo. Make sure you know. Make sure you know. People must make sure that you are aware the men that are walking among you. We live difficult times. We are in the midst of the greatest apostasy that the world ever knew. But we are most privileged too. You have a blackboard there. I want you to pay a little bit of attention. Perhaps we can get it closer here. As you see there, I could not really draw into that that is a black one, yes. There is green boards and white boards and all kind of colors today. But this is a blackboard there. Then you must make sure that you at least, while I'm speaking and bringing you this message, once in a while you take a look to what is being said and what the Lord is revealing to you this evening. Chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 6. Now, all those that know already that there is four booklets of my testimony in Christ has been published through four books besides other cassette tapes and videotapes and many other things and means of communication. There is Alberto, there is Double Cross, there is the Godfather and the Force. And now already is the fifth booklet called The Four Horsemen, and is coming very soon. It's coming very soon. And there is what the Lord has shown me during these days that I was incarcerated within the walls of the Vatican. That is what I knew. You see, if I knew not spiritually, prophetically, what I knew intellectually, I could be going mad. I could, as a matter of fact, by the time that the Lord arrived to supply my needs of salvation, I was already in that point. I could go mad. The information that I knew, the horrifying things that I came across, the horrible things that I was involved, the crimes, the immoralities, the conspiracies that I was in, yes, it drive any human mad. This is why most of these priests under the stream of an induction, they ended up that way. They ended up confused. They ended up under drugs. They ended up being killed and murdered as victims, as a sacrifice to the Pope of Rome. Yes, to Lucifer himself. Let me tell you that the Lord came on time when there, through this written revelation, I receive these very things that I will be sharing with you from there on in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, as I did share with you during these three past days, on Matthew chapter 24, on the three prophetical signs prophesied by Jesus Christ himself, how I was relieved, how I was free from the papacy, from the curses of the papacy, from the curses of the Roman Catholic Mass, and from the curses of the Roman Catholic priesthood, how I was set free. Of course, I knew the danger. I knew the deceit behind every one of these three things. I knew even intellectually. I even can challenge any Roman Catholic today. Right now, I can challenge any Roman Catholic, any priest, any bishop, any cardinal, any pope. I can challenge every one of the millions and millions of Roman Catholics to register within their minds, within their life, within their personal experiences, through the liturgy, through the canon laws, through the dogmas, through the councils, and register their minds and register their life and find out there is there somewhere in the life of every Roman Catholic, there is one reason, at least one reason, why they could quit, why they can leave the Roman Catholic institution. There is more than one reason in your life. Since the first communion, a child is awake through confession to the more horrifying and immoral practice that any human ever will know. And already that adolescent can be even brought into sodomy. That child, right from the first communion, and even perhaps before, can be brought, that girl, into fornication. Yes, a girl 12 years old, 13 years old, 11 years old, 10 years old has happened, is happening already, and is still happening today. Yes, you have that reason. Moral reason, political reason, educational reason, economical reason, reasons of all kinds will come to you, not even knowing God's word. You feel, you know that these things are not from God, that these things cannot be shared by the living Christ. These things are not from the Spirit of the Lord. You know it, even not knowing the word of God. Yes, under the providence of God, the Lord has struggled with every soul bound to Roman Catholicism, trying to bring them out, trying to set them free, trying to get them saved, even without the scripture. Because I tell you the truth, even the men, the very men that brought me the New Testament, in the minor seminary that I was in, that young man that brought me the New Testament, he was not a Christian. He was not a pastor. He was not a preacher. He was not even a Christian. The one that brought me the revelation of God right in the heart of the harlot. I was not even out. I was not even seeking or searching outside. Right in there, in that seminar, I was brought by the providence and love of God, the Word of God. Certainly, Jesus has said in his last day that he went into Jerusalem, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes asked him to tell his disciples to be quiet. Oh yes, yes, I can hear the voice of the devil himself as a thunder telling you today, with more reasons than yesterday, be quiet. Yes, be quiet. Even if you hear, don't even talk about. But you see, see what Jesus did? Well, he could say, I'm going to make you a favor. In order for my time in Jerusalem to be all right and not go into any trouble, I'm going to comply with this petition. I'm going to tell my disciples now, from now on, while I'm in Jerusalem, you be quiet. Don't make troubles, because I'm here, they're going to get me. You better believe that is what is expected. You better believe it. It was expected from Christ himself when they demanded and they requested. Compromises are filling even the air. Yes, at any cost. But you see, he called us to freedom. We cannot be bound to no compromise at all. Hallelujah! He saved us! He redeemed us! He forgave us! He set us free from compromises with death, judgment, and hell. Yes, with every compromise, he set us free from the greatest compromise that a human can be bound to it, without God and without Christ. Oh yes, I was bound to tremendous compromise. I even swear with a knife in my hands pointing to my heart when I was taken under oath and induction, as I swear the pledge of a Jesuit under oath and induction. Yes, I compromise. I compromise against my own life. I said and I repeat, yes, if ever I discover, I reveal this secret oath, I'll kill myself. Yes, from how many death he has set us free? How many? One? No one. Many. As you review your life as a former Roman Catholic priest, even so now you can appreciate more what Jesus Christ has done for you. You could not even realize that. From so many death he has set us free. There is a plan, there is no doubt about. There is a conspiracy, as we start in chapter 24 of the Gospel of Matthew. And there is a conspirator, not only a conspiracy. Certainly, you will find books written about every kind of conspiracy, Illuminatis. Oh, the Club of Rome. Oh, the New Era. Oh, all kinds of conspiracies in every direction. The Trilateral Commission, yes. So many conspiracies. Military conspiracies, educational conspiracies, political conspiracies, moral conspiracies, economical conspiracies, all kinds. But there is only one conspiracy and only one conspirator. And the reason why you have not been able yet to realize that prophetical revelation of God is because, as I was involved creating even those conspiracies. I was paying off. I was financing as an instrument of the Jesuit order. Financing to create conspiracies of all kinds around the earth in order to cover up the great only one conspiracy, and to cover up and hide from the light, from the knowledge of people, the great only conspirator, the Pope of Rome. The great conspiracy, the Roman Catholic institution, are now we see prophetically in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. This is when my freedom took place. Because again, if I knew not, prophetically speaking, what I knew intellectually, I could not even know where Jesus Christ brought me from. I could not even know from what he set me free, from what he redeemed me. Yes, the dimension of this freedom. Oh, how much I do appreciate every 24 hours around the clock. As you do appreciate more your salvation and redemption and freedom in Christ, then you know that you become a slave of him more than ever before. You become subject of him constantly. Yes, your desire, constant desire, is to serve him, is to communicate with him, is to communicate about him to people around you, because what he has done for you. Yes. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I hear, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse. There is your white horse, that big circle right there. Then, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, let's go step by step, briefly as we need to do so, and then we will see what these circles mean. The first circle, it means, as you can see, four circles, each one of the circles representing one of the prophetical horses here, and the horseman, and the commissions of the horseman. You see, to each horseman was given a commission to fulfill. Now, are those commissions that we are more concerned right now, not just about the horse and the rider, but we are more concerned now to study the commission. Because through these four commissions, or through these four riders, the commissions that were given to them, I work on it. I was there. I work in the commissions given through the first rider and the white horse. I work in the second rider, or with the commissions given to the second rider, as you can see, and that was the red horse. And I was working with the commissions and performing works toward the fulfillment of the commissions of the third horse, of the third rider, as you can see, the black horse. And then the fourth, of course, as a priest, I was already there. As a priest, I was already there. As a Roman Catholic priest, if you were here yesterday, you knew everything about the priesthood, almost everything, at least what really is important today, to know who really a Roman Catholic priest is, according to God's written revelation. Yes. Then we know already that this yellow horse, this pale horse, involve the commissions, the rider performed the commissions that were given to him as the liturgy, as you can see later, as the program, that is the charismatic program of the Roman Catholic institution, the mystical side. But now let us start with the white horse. Now you understand that there is a rider and a horse riding throughout the world today. As a matter of fact, this prophecy never become more relevant than this century. And this century, this prophecy, you know, as a Jesuit priest, we were trying to imply all the time in prophetical interpretations that this white horse and the rider were Jesus Christ. And then we were passing on this interpretation. A lot of people believe it. And they said, yes, this is Christ. And then even the Jesuits believe that these are the programs by which they have been chosen from God. You see, you do not see defeat. He's interested in these judgments of God. You do not see at the beginning, you do not see no defeat. Apparently, every rider, every horseman, carry on these commissions without defeat. Apparently, there is a great defeat. Will be a great devastation for them. And listen well who they are. First, behold a white horse. The white color is very, very symbolic in two ways within the Roman Catholic institution. The red color is another very significant color, and the black as well the pale. Now let's speak about the colors, and so we are dealing now with the first horse that was white. White dressed the Pope, and there is no doubt about that the first dress, the first vestment that he wear after he come out as a cardinal chosen to be a Pope, the first that he wear, he could not wear any other vestment except complete white vestment. From there on, that will be the official color by which he will be introduced to the entire powers of the world. He could not office and international relations without that particular vestment. It had the meaning. That particular vestment make him to the other side as the holiest of holies. What that means is he's trying to symbolize that he on earth is the holiest of holies. This child of the devil proclaimed himself as God and called himself the Holy Father. But not only himself, the people of the earth, not only Roman Catholics, I'm talking about governors, I'm talking about presidents, I'm talking about princes and kings and emperors, has bowed to him, has written, has addressed him as the Holy Father. Not only the priests of Rome, but even more so, today Protestants, they were not yesterday Protestants. Today's Protestants, they will address him as the Holy Father too. And today's Pentecostals, even what I'm doing, they will call him the Holy Father. Their magazines will report her. Their interviews and televisions, they will set some will witness that prophecies being fulfilled in the mouths of those who are still under this curse. Yes, the Holy Father. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, I was brought under the conviction of the Holy Spirit when from here I was brought back to chapter 17 of the Gospel of John. And there I hear for the first time our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ saying in his prayer, Holy Father. Yes, he has taken the title given by Christ himself to his Father. Yes, holy. White. But then there is an interesting succession of colors too. That is important to know the divine order of these colors as the Holy Spirit will reveal then. Because that order is parallel in history, throughout history, how this has taken place. For instance, we see that first, that any other thing, this power that represent the white horse always was there, even in the Roman emperor. And the Roman emperor, that already dressed in white, was the divine person. He was qualified as the divine person. Because that duality was invested in a Roman emperor. He was not just a human. He was divine. And he was worshipped. Not only as an emperor, he was worshipped as God on earth. Yes, Summus Pontifex was one of his titles. The same was inherited by the successor. Because the popes never were successors of Peter. They all were successors of Constantine the Great, the emperor of Rome. Of course, they all were successors of the devil himself. The spirit of the Antichrist has worked out their jobs, their office, and their commissions. But there is the historical line. There is no other historical line. There is no way that historically speaking you can connect
the definitions, the prophetical definitions that are here to anything in the life of Peter, or in the teachings of Peter, or in the preaching of Peter, or in the testimony of Peter, or in the epistles of Peter, or any other teaching concerning the apostles. There is nothing here. But concerning the papacy, concerning the Pope, yes, everything here is. White, red, black, and yellow or pale. Now, if you combine these colors, white, red, and black, as a result, you have the fourth color, pale. Amazing. Even chemistry will give the evidence of the connection of this program of the Antichrist. Listen well. Of these judgments of God upon the life of those who betrayed Christ and pervert his gospel. This white, the papacy, the Pope, red, the communist power. Why? There is only one red flag, always been, and even before the Jesuit order was established, that red color was typical of the authority, along with the purple, of the authority of popes. From cardinals up, already the two colors were being seen. But only in the person of the Pope, the colors of red and scarlet, scarlet and purple, I will say, then they were combined. And here we have red. There is a flag that was established by the Jesuits himself as part of that liturgical symbol within the institution. They brought out that symbol out for the creation of a political ideology. Before communism, red always was an international symbol of different ideologies. Among others, you have socialism. Among others, you have then later fascism. After communism, of course. But today, now, and will be until the Lord come, that red flag is the international flag of the international communism. Wherever you go, in any communist country, that flag will be the international symbol of the forces of communism. Solid red. Now we will study the commissions later, but let's go on with the colors. Then you have black, and there is only one flag that is solid black. There is only one. Those who study this booklet here, they could see that under the oath and induction, when this ceremony is taking place for a Jesuit to swear under oath and induction, there is a flag there. And that flag is black, solid black with a red a skeleton on it and a knife. That has been from the time of Ignacio de Loyola the flag of the Jesuit order. As a matter of fact, is a secret flag. Now, who was waving that flag before? That was the Illuminati established by Ignacio de Loyola. He did not invent the flag by the time he established the Jesuit order. He brought it from the Illuminati that he established 28 years before, 1541, when he established the Jesuit order, or when at least he presented to Pope Paul III his constitutions of the Jesuit order. Now, listen to this, the fourth color. And that was a pale color, a pale horse. Now combine these two colors and see what you come out with. White at the beginning, the white horse, and then your pale horse, the fourth horse. Combine these two colors. If you could have colors that could combine, not combine, but just put them together. Here, next one to the other. Pale and white. And what flag you have? What flag do you have that combine these two colors. It's only one flag in the entire world, and only for 1600 years that flag has waved. And now, today, more than never before, that flag is waving where never was allowed to wave. Never. Even in this country, you have seen that flag to be known to the millions and millions of America at least twice in the history of this country and the streets of this country. And two visits of two popes. That is the flag of the Vatican. It is in the United Nations right now. Among all the flags of the world, there's no one that can even come similar to this one. Pale and white. Now, we can go into the details. You see these arrows that point from inside to outside, and then from outside to inside. We do not have the space, not even the time, to list all the things in the past that this great harlot, this great whore of the book of Revelation has brought from the past. The list is, for instance, let's put it, on the mother of harlot, this column in your right, and then on the mother of abominations in your left. Now, on the mother of harlots, you can list hundreds and hundreds of religions in the past. I'm not talking about the present. I'm not talking about after the Roman Catholic institution was established. No. She had become the mother not only of those religions that had come out from her, of those denominations that had left her, but there's something else. She had become the mother of those who in the past, like the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, the Greeks, the Romans, were there before her. She been able to amalgamate, she been able to collect all their liturgy and make that liturgy a part of her in our days. All the religions of the world, including way back into Semiramis, that goddess become the so-called Virgin Mary later. You can see how she's not only the mother of today's religions and cults and occults, but look at this. She is the mother because she revived what already has died in the past. She brought back to life the Chaldeans' religion, the Babylonians' religion, the Greek mythology, the pagan Romans. She brought back to life every single occult in the past. Their symbols and liturgy is full of them. Their doctrines is the result of them. Even from the Jewish religion, no, from the Old Testament, but from the same tradition, Jewish tradition, that they have amalgamated through 500 years between the prophet Malachi and the Gospel of Matthew. From even that time, she have amalgamated all these experiences that the Jews weren't through without God's revelation. No prophet, no priest, no temple, but the Jews are still believing after they had betrayed even the very truly prophets of God, that God was speaking to them, and the angels appeared to them, and the archangels came to visit them, and brought back revelations among others to pray for the souls of the dead, not only, but to perform offices, to bring food, to bring money, to sacrifice those who already has died. Yes, the books of Maccabees and the Roman Catholic Bible. She been able to do this and much more. And you left, mother of abominations of the earth. There has not been political ideology, including from the Egyptian political ideologies to all the Chaldeans and Babylonians that she been not able to brought into life. She experiment with socialism. She experiment with communism. And she experiment even with capitalism. She's doing now through what you call Christian democracy. There is the Christian Democrats. Yes. What eventually will replace even what is left
of democracy in this country. She has experimented with every other abomination against the will of God. Yes. Now we understand better, we will understand better, that everything that left from her into the world and every area of the world, as you can see, through the commissions of each of these riders and these horses, everything that left her to create all the things in the world and every sector of life, political, economical, industrial, military, religious, etc., etc., you will see that is coming back to her. These are the arrows pointing back to her. It's going back to her. The performing of these commissions will accomplish that. What these commissions of these four horsemen are doing, what they are trying to accomplish, two things, not to be confused, two things. As I was told by the Lord Himself, when I already knew intellectually these two things. I knew not that God ever spoke about what intellectually I knew and what I was as a priest involved with. There I was working in these different commissions given to these different riders and these horses. But I knew not that God has spoken about. Then, when I wake up, I understood that these two goals that pursued the Roman Catholic institution, the Pope of Rome, and this is why he is traveling so much today. What is the reason of a Pope traveling so much around the world? Why? Why this particular one especially? That came from a communist country, that was a member of the Communist Party before he was ordained priest, being a seminarian, underground. When Pope Pius XII knew that Hitler was being defeated, already they were working, the Jesuits, with communism to make peace with them already. Their priests immediately went searching for membership in communist parties. Their seminarians, their Catholic militants, they were searching. Whatever fascism was being defeated, they were searching to become members of the communist party immediately. You say the Catholics are not communists. You say the Catholics fight communists. Well, you got a big surprise coming to you. You can see the unity of these prophecies and these commissions. Two goals have this great whore, this harlot, this mother of harlots and abominations. Two goals. One is under a satanic doctrine called the temporal power of the papacy, the temporal power of the Roman Catholic institution. One of the most holies of doctrines within the Roman Catholic institution. One of the most dangerous and severe doctrines within the Roman Catholic teaching. The temporal power of that institution. They said, we are the Church of Christ, we were told in the seminar. And because we are the Church of Christ, and because the Pope is the head of the Church, there is Christ Himself, then the kingdom of God is here, and the King is here. Then we must take over the world, because we are reigning under Christ on earth. Then every piece of land is ours. Every human is ours. Every government must be under our power. Certainly, the temporal power. It tells the institution they must have political power. They must have economical power. They must have educational power. They gotta control the education of your mind. They gotta supervise that education. That education go along with the canons, laws of the Roman Catholic institution. That attorney, that doctor, that banker, that senator, that governor, that president, that king and emperor, they all have to think accordingly the canon laws of the Roman Catholic institution. Yes, certainly. This is why they all bow in their professions to her and to the canon laws of the institution, they swear. Listen, why? And he that sat on him half above. Now, we go into the details that adorn that figure, that rider, and that white horse. that we can identify the person, not only with the horse, the color, but that we can identify the commission, three things: rider, horse, commissions given. And there is, by what he wear, not only, but what he carry with him. He said, or the Holy Spirit said, that one that set on him, on that white horse, have a bow. Now what that means? Usually you see a bow with arrows. See? You have no meaning, just a bow without arrows. You do not too much with just a bow without arrows to fire. You need arrows and make a complete picture of someone that is prepared to make war. Ah, but that is not what this man is showing throughout the world. What they said, even President Ronald Reagan, what they said is a man of peace. A man of peace. Don't you see the poor Pope? He have no army. Don't you see how even they try to kill him so easily? Even their bodyguard doesn't work. It doesn't function. Oh, the poor man must be so persecuted. What a devil. He is a devil. Only these manipulations, only these horrifying, dramatic manipulations only can be in the minds of the devil, not only, but only then can be brought from the center of hell. Listen well. This. About no errors. I want you to see this. What do you see here? A crucifix. A crucifix. Now he do not only wear a white dress as he ride throughout the world. He do not only wear a white horse. I mean a white dress, a white vestment. But when he arrive with that white vestment, already do one thing first before anything else. He bow, he kneel, he kissed the earth. He kissed the soil where he arrived into that country. You know what he's doing? Exactly what this symbol empowered him to do according to that satanic goal among the two. Temporal power. He's claiming that land for him. He's claiming the land. He's saying to the nation already that once he step in that soil is his. He is the owner of that country, of that nation, and he's king over. That kiss always was the symbol of claiming back. The bow was there to confuse the people of the nations, to lie, as the Holy Spirit revealed in the book of Revelation, to lie to the peoples of the nations that he is a man of peace, that he wear no weapons to conquer. Ah, but he come to do that. Exactly that. A bow, yes, is a double meaning. Is one is literal, the other is very mystical. This is why you can see that this is the only crucifix all over the world, the only crucifix all over the world with this shape. Now that you know, once you take a look to television once or any other picture, look at back again why the Pope could not office without this crucifix next to him. It's a peculiar one. As a matter of fact, we don't have time to go into the origin of this crucifix. But what you see in that crucifix that usually, normally, all the crucifix are the combination of two lines, one horizontal and vertical lines, two lines, but this is a concave line. It's the form of an arc. It makes a bow. The two sides of a bow are combined together at the end of a crucifix. Now read back the prophecy. And he sat on him half a bow. Now his other identity as such. And a crown was given unto him. It doesn't say that he have. Now he have right to that crucifix. This is why he have it.
He have that right. As this crucifix is the only crucifix given in succession to every pope. No pope can keep it and say, this is mine. I'll take it with me when I go, resign, or die. No, no, no. This crucifix passed on to every pope. He had the right to have a crucifix, but he doesn't have one right that he claimed among many others, that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He believed that he is. Another title taken from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen well to this. Since he is already in that position, with a bow and a crown, see why he have no right to that crown. He have no royal blood. He have not ever, never belonged to a royal dynasty. He is not a prince of any monarchy. They have created, they have made it. And even the kings and emperors of the earth have to submit to him as a king without ever being a king or a prince without ever have a drop of royal blood. You see, in order to inherit a crown, whether it is in England or whether it is in Switzerland or whether it is in whatever, even in Spain right now, in order to inherit a crown, Spain was without king for many years. But that crown cannot be used for no one. Nobody can use that crown. That crown was preserved against all, even the opposition and rejection of different ideology. That crown could not be touched. That crown cannot be used until there is a king. Franco wants to be a king. But the Pope said, no, you don't. We wait until we got the king prepared for that. And there is Juan Carlos, the son of the Alphonse III, the 13th. Yes, he's got to be a prince to inherit the crown. He's got to be a prince. He's got to have royal blood. And they wait and wait. But it's something else. Son of the princes that were first inheritors of that crown, they were taken away. Why? Because they marry with people that have no royal blood, and they lost the crown. Only this marry to a queen, to a princess, a descendant of royal blood. Now listen well. This child of the devil, this Antichrist, is even claiming to be a king of kings when he had never been, not even that, a king. But he claim to be king of kings. He have a crown. A crown was given unto him. And certainly, they give him a crown. The second step, after the white dress is given to him, already, and the title to as Vicarius Filii Dei is granted, then the next step, another gift is given to him. And that is a crown. And is a triple crown. Another imitation of the crowns of Jesus Christ. He was not pleased with a crown that is only a single piece. No, no, no. He wants a triple crown. What this symbolizes, what that means, what king or emperor in the world will be given a crown without being member of any royal family? First. Second, what king or emperor in the world will be given a crown, even emperor, that have three crowns and one? Only the Pope of Rome. And a crown was given unto him. That deserves the definition of these three powers. These three powers that combine the two goals that they are trying to pursue here, these commissions of these riders and these horses. What are these? The temporal power first, to make one world government. That is your triple crown. One world government. Second, the apostolic succession, to define that that man is not only the only absolute authority over the kingdoms of the earth, not only, but that he, at the same time, combined these two powers, he office or he occupied two offices, one as a man reigning over the world and the other as God. Apostolic succession. That he received the power from Jesus Christ to be the head of his church. That he received from Jesus Christ the grant to take his place until he come. Certainly. One part said that he is king above the earth. That is the first crown. The second crown, he tell, it means that he is the king of the celestial cosmos. What that means is, beyond the cosmos, beyond the stars and the planets, he governed. He governed beyond these places, and heaven, and earth, hell, and limbo, and purgatory. He have power in all the universe and beyond. But then, being one crown, that is where the three become one. And this is why the prophecy established that understanding. Listen well to this. The three combine one. He said that one crown is the crown of the Father. The second crown is the crown of Jesus. And the third crown is the crown of the Holy Spirit. He is the Trinity. He is God. Three persons manifested in one God, and he is all. Certainly, when you realize that you were set free from the papacy, now you do realize from what really Jesus Christ saved and set you free. If you are still now bound, directly or indirectly, bound to any even sympathy, to this manifestation of the Antichrist in the person of that particular Pope, that today, as never before, has become more relevant to every nation, more relevant to every person, more relevant to Roman Catholic people, today than never before, this prophecy is before our own eyes being fulfilled. We will proceed with the last part. And he went forth conquering and to conquer, starting tomorrow. But now you have an invitation here as we conclude for this evening. Listen well to this. I read back to you the text, verse 2. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him half a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Accompany me to Revelation chapter 19, and there is where I present to you this invitation this evening. Chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. As we read, now you compare, you do your own compare now, as the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, is bringing you under conviction. If you are not saved, if you are not a Christian, if you are not free yet from these curses of the papacy, you are called this evening to be free. To be free indeed, truly free, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Here is chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. As we read, let us see what we read in verse 11. And I saw heaven opening, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him half a bow, was given a crown, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he hath a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven follow him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nation. And he shall rule then with a rod of iron, and he tread the vapors of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture, on his hide, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise be his name. Stand up with me this evening. Worship him. Glorify him. Because this evening, he, only he, Christ, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, can set you free from this mockery of this Antichrist, from this mockery that has been perpetrated throughout the century and has become more relevant of him who is only the only King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You need that King. You need a Lord over your life, to rule your life, to govern your life, to possess your life. You need that Lord. You need that King. You call me Lord, he said, and you do not obey. You do not do what I said. Do what he said if you profess to know him. Do what he said. Anyone that said to know him and do not keep his word, Chapter 2 of the Gospel of the first epistle of John. Anyone, regardless of who is, that said the no him, the no Christ, and do not keep his commandment, do not keep his word, the Holy Spirit said is a liar. Is a liar. And no liar will inherit the kingdom of God. You must come to him this evening. As we do pray, everyone pray, every believer pray, praying for your father that is Catholic, still Catholic, praying for the freedom of your mother that is still Catholic, praying for the freedom of your wife, your husband, they're still bound to these curses of the papacy, fulfilling under the prophecies of God these commissions right now. Yes, you can be free not only, you can be redeemed not only, you can be forgiven for your transgression and sin not only, but you can be protected under the power of King of Kings and Lord of Lords right in this moment, during this time of crisis and confrontation and persecution and tribulation. We are in the midst of tribulation now, not yesterday or tomorrow. We are now in the midst of tribulation. You can be protected. You can serve a king, a living king, as Christ the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Come to him. Make you available. Make your life available to him. Make your thought, make your entire person available to him this evening. Tell him, Master, Savior, here I come. As I am, here I come. As we invite you to come forward. Come forward. Open your heart to him this evening. Open your heart. Come forward. Receive him as your personal Savior and Redeemer. Don't delay. Don't reject no more. It's already time for you to take a decision, a serious decision. You need protection. You need salvation. You need forgiveness. You need a new life in Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Come to him as we keep praying. The people of God keep praying and assisting and helping those who need freedom in Jesus Christ. Those who need a real king. Those who need a real Lord. Not a slave master, as is the Pope. A real Lord of Lords and King of Kings. It's enough. It's enough already of a slave master, as that papacy has represented already for 1600 years. You need freedom. You already were a slave. Then come to freedom. Come to freedom in Jesus Christ. As you come forward, I'll be praying and interceding with the people of God here this evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We wait a minute and you come to him this evening. Don't delay. Don't delay. No more. No more. You have been waiting too long already. You come to him now this evening. You come to him wherever you are. I cannot see you, but he can see you. He can see your heart. He can see your heart. Now you come to him. You directly or indirectly, you've been subject to the curses of this prophecy. You've been subject to the curses of this judgment, and you need to be free. Praise the Lord. You come on. Come on, get free now, get saved. Hallelujah. You come. We're still waiting as he been waiting for you to come, for you to be free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As that song of invitation is still helping and assisting you to come, we wait a minute more for you. For you to come, if you are not saved, and you are not redeemed, and you are not forgiven. If you are not a Christian, you come now. Come to be one. Come to be saved. Come to be born again. Now. Don't wait no longer. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We're still waiting upon you. The song of invitation is calling you. Christ is calling you through. Your Savior is still waiting for you to save you, to protect you, to redeem you, to forgive you of your transgressions and your sins this evening. Come to Him. Come. Come. Come now. Regardless of your condition. Regardless of your condition. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There is freedom in Christ. There is freedom in Christ. Hallelujah. Claim that freedom for your soul. Claim that freedom. There is power in His blood. There is power. You see, I'm here because that power. I'm testifying because that power. I'm serving Him because that power. You come to Him now, regardless of your condition. There's still power for you. It's available to you. As you profess Him, as you confess Him before men, He said, I shall confess you before my Father in heaven. Come, confess Him among us now. Don't wait no longer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
For those of you that have come forth, say this prayer from the bottom of your heart and say it to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll come in your heart and He'll wash away every sin that you ever committed. Repeat this prayer after me and say it to the Lord. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that He died on the cross and shed His blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. I believe that God rose Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Ghost. Come into my heart, Jesus. Wash all my sins away in your precious blood that you shed for me. Lord, you will not turn me away. You will save my soul. Your word says so. The Holy Bible. And I know that you have heard me. And I know that you have answered me. And I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Raise your hands and praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we praise you. Lord and Master, we thank you for this service, Father. And Lord, we praise you, Father God. Lord, we give you all the praise and honor and glory tonight, Lord. Father God, you're real. We thank you, Father, for shedding your blood upon the cross, Lord and Master, and letting us have a chance, Lord, that we could come to the cross, Father. And Lord, thank you for salvation. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, Father. Thank you for your precious Spirit. Lord, we thank you, Lord and Master. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we pray, Father, that you'll give us strength, Lord, and power, and strengthen Tony, Lord and Master, in the precious name of Jesus and his new wife, Lord and God, in the name of Jesus. And thank you for Dr. Rivera, Lord and Master. We give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. Amen and amen. Dismissed.